My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
So let's get out there and find out not only what was happening in practice today, but we'll do a deeper dive as well with David Lombardi of The Athletic, who recently wrote about Brock Purdy and how he kind of changed the landscape. Did you go to Ames, Iowa and start digging around? Is that what I read, David?
Oh, yeah. I was sitting in Matt Campbell's office. He told me you were sitting in the very same chair that Brock Purdy was sitting on, and I told him that he was going to start getting snaps at the quarterback position in a game. And then I was in a bunch of cool places. I got to see the training room where he worked on his reflexes, because we know he's got those super quick reflexes, so I got to see that. They gave me the full tour. The practice facility, everything, the locker room. It was really neat. And then I went on a scavenger hunt of my own, and I went to this place called Wallaby's Bar and Grill, and they had a Brock Purdy signed 49ers jersey next to a Joe Montana 49ers jersey. So I thought that was the perfect ending to my trip.
And David, I haven't had a time to read it. It's right here. I'm just clicked on it. Like, just kind of go over it real quick. Make me want to read this article about Brock Purdy. It looks sensational.
Well, we all know the story with the 49ers, how he was pick number 262, so he was unheralded coming from the previous level. And then his very first year, he dazzled on the scout team, and then he was the third-string quarterback, and he turned into the starter, and he didn't relinquish the starter's job after he got the opportunity due to an injury in front of him, or two injuries in front of him, in the case of the 49ers. That same exact sequence of events happened at Iowa State.
No way.
So if you would have, he shows up at Iowa State, turns down Alabama and Texas A&M, first of all, because he'd rather go to the school where it just a more homey vibe. He didn't want to be part of a football factory. He's a humble guy. He didn't want to deal with, the big SEC schools. So he shows up at Iowa State. He's a third string, true freshman. There's a play in practice where I include the tape. The offensive coordinator at Iowa State let me use the All-22 tape. He's walking me through it. He digs it up on his computer where Purdy, nobody knows who he is at that point because he's a true freshman, jukes out the defensive end with this nifty pump fake completely off script and scores a touchdown. And the whole field like, whoa, what's going on? We got to play this guy. This guy just has it, right? Then about, I think it was 4 or 5 games into the season, the starter, who was a good player, his name was Kyle Kemp. He had led several big wins, including a win over Oklahoma the year prior. I think Baker Mayfield was the quarterback of Oklahoma when he beat him. He goes down with an injury. So that's the Jimmy Garoppolo in this situation. And Brock Purdy takes over and does not relinquish the starting job for 4 years. And between 2010 and 2018, Iowa State had never had a quarterback finish the full season. Like, they didn't have a quarterback play all the games in the season. And as soon as Purdy took over, he played in every single start, possible start for him in 4 years. So I mean, if that doesn't sound familiar, I don't know what will sound familiar. It's like history repeated itself with the 49ers after Brock Purdy did it all at Iowa State.
It's just incredible. It's incredible. We actually, David, we've been sitting here on a number of fronts the last 2 days talking about players who take advantage of the opportunities that are presented to them. And Brock Purdy has got to be Exhibit A, it sounds like, twice doing that in his life. So really suggest people go check it out. It's a very, very cool article. Great job. David Lombardi, The Athletic, with us. Okay, the obligatory question. So 2 days in a row, Brandon Ayuk has watched closely from the sideline. What does that mean?
Well, he hadn't been out on the sideline for a full 2 weeks. So we saw him on the sideline July 31st. That was the infamous handshake and hug day. And then he wasn't on the sideline. Now, he did peek his head out of the weight room to watch practice on one of those days. But it was, I don't know what the 49ers told him after the hug and the handshake day. But there obviously wasn't the same presence that we all of a sudden saw again 2 weeks later. Now, obviously, in the 2 weeks between the two sideline appearances, that's when all the trade stuff, all the trade rumors were going down. My read on it is that negotiations were not going well, and the two sides were far apart, and there was emotion and there was frustration from both sides based on how little progress there was being made, which obviously spurred the whole trade stuff, which may or may not have just been a way for the 49ers to break the impasse. They needed to get some movement done. So Brandon Ayuk requested a trade before training camp, and the 49ers were like, okay, we'll call the bluff and let's see if this gets movement going. I can't say that for sure, but it appears that might be the case at this time. And then once, when we got the reports that things were going better, that the two parties had reapproached each other, all of a sudden Brandon Ayuk was back on the practice field at the very next opportunity. So if you're just reading this simply based on the clues that we have, it seems that as there's been good progress being made based on some of these reports, Brandon Ayuk has been back on the field. So I think that might be what to read into this, if anything at all.
What's your best guess on this thing getting done? When is it going to get done, and is there too late? Is there such a thing as too late?
Yes, of course, because the 49ers learned that last year when Nick Bosa didn't sign until a couple of days before the regular season, and that obviously hurt them. It hurt Nick Bosa, and it hurt them. I think the 49ers really want to avoid that this year. I think that they, I'm just speculating here, but I think they probably set a mid-August date as a time that they would definitely want this done by, because this is right now as we speak is when the joint practices with the Saints were supposed to be happening. Those obviously got canceled. So I think it's no coincidence that the team started applying this deadline pressure, trying to break the impasse a couple weeks before the middle of August, right? It was right at the start of August when all of this stuff started to happen. So I think they're really hoping to get this done as soon as possible. But obviously that requires Brandon Ayuk signing on the dotted line. And, from the 49ers perspective, big picture is important here. The remember context of where this negotiation is coming in. It's coming the year after Nick Bosa, I would say, won a negotiation against the 49ers. I think they ultimately had to blink because they needed him on the field, and they ended up cutting a little bit further into their budget than they would have wanted to. And it's coming the year before Brock Purdy is going to have every bit of leverage if he continues playing well because he's a quarterback. So it's tough luck for Brandon Ayuk, but he falls in between these two contracts. The 49ers already have all these highly paid players. So they have a really, really finite budget here that they feel they can't go over, because they feel if they go over it after already cutting into the excess money last year, they're going to have to start cutting people just to pay Brock Purdy next season. And for them, it's really important that they stay salary cap sustainable. Now, there's a lot of fans, and I'm sure there are media members that are saying, well, it doesn't matter. They just need to kick the door down this year and win the Super Bowl and deal with the consequences later. A team like the 49ers in the 90s, at the end of Steve Young's career, decided to do that. And it may not be a bad strategy if you can win a Super Bowl, but that's just not the headspace that Shanahan and Lynch are in. They want to make sure that this stays sustainable. They see themselves at the beginning of a window because Brock Purdy is about to sign a long-term deal. They don't see themselves as being at the end of the window. So I think that's why they're holding firm in this price for Brandon Ayuk, because they don't want it to this contract to damage the rest of the roster down the line.
David Lombardi, The Athletic. David, I'm very interested by you drawing a line between Nick Bosa's negotiation and Brandon Ayuk's. I had made the comment earlier that I do think something is going on right now that is the Niners sort of battling against the fact that they quote-unquote lost that deal last year. So when you draw that line where they are with Brandon, how much of that is mathematical and how much of it is emotional? In other words, are they bringing that loss from last year to this year's negotiations in an emotional way?
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Well, first of all, nobody knows how big the salary cap is going to be next year and the year after that. A lot of this is a guessing game. And you have your models and you have your projections, but it's all tied to league revenue. And there also is a chance that it goes down if the economy doesn't do well and league revenue obviously suffers in conjunction with that. So you're always projecting into the future. You're always determining based on, you know, just kind of a guessing game. You're in the dark. What's going to be safe and what's not, how you distribute this money. And you just never want to let that sink overflow, because if the sink overflows, then you run into the problem. So I think part of it's definitely a financial hard money thing, except that you're just feeling around in the dark and you just have to make sure that, I guess you can't make sure, but you have to try to be as safe as possible to be able to keep all these large contracts under. I do sense that in this situation, the emotions have gotten involved. And that's where I would point out that John Lynch probably doesn't get enough credit because you got people working on contracts. You have Kyle Shanahan, who obviously has to tend to the football team as the head coach. So he's dealing with these guys on a closer basis. And then you have Lynch, who throughout his time with the 49ers, and this is going to be season 8 for him now, I think has done a really, really good job being the CEO of the football team. And I don't think that he's dirtied himself too much with any individual issue unless he absolutely has to step in. And I think that that's allowed him to be a stabilizing force in the building in case things do get too emotional. And, you know, we were reading tea leaves right this last week. There are no real verified reports of any actual movement. There are a lot of rumors and there are reports of what the 49ers were considering doing, what might have been on the table. But if you did read those tea leaves, it did seem that there was a danger that Brandon Ayuk and the 49ers would do something based on emotion that didn't end up being the optimal solution for both sides. I think that the optimal solution for both sides, just when I look at this from a business perspective, is that if Brandon Ayuk stays with the best roster in football, probably makes a little bit less money on his actual salary, but earns much more monetary value through being with a big market team that's really good, that has a chance to go to a Super Bowl. And he could also probably set himself up better for a third contract with a very accurate quarterback, and he's not getting beaten up as much because there's other targets on the team. That's what I think is probably the optimal outcome for both. But if emotions cloud the judgment on either side of this, with Shanahan and with, you know, the people doing the 49ers contracts and on the side of Brandon Ayuk, if emotions cloud either side, that can prevent the optimal outcome from happening. And I think that's where John Lynch's role comes in, because I think he's experienced, and I think that he's done a good job setting himself up in that CEO type of role to where he's a little bit above the fray, so he's able to stabilize the ship in case things get a little too unsteady.
Well, let's hope they get that thing done and we can talk about football. And speaking of football, the Niners had maybe their longest practice all camp today, and maybe you could tell us about it. How did Brock Purdy do today?
Today was his most accurate practice as a 49er. He was 21 of 25, and three of those incompletions were intentional throwaways when the line collapsed in front of him. So he got out of dodge and just chucked the ball out of bounds to make sure that he could live to fight another day. The one incompletion was the Chris Conley in the red zone. Wasn't really open, so Purdy just kind of put the ball out there in the back of the end zone, so the defense couldn't get it. It was going to be a tough completion anyway, so that was his day. 21-25, hit Kittle deep, was just pinpoint accurate on some of the shorter passes. Deebo Samuel's playing so well right now. A few of the completions were to him. He's just so strong. His hands are so strong, and Purdy was able to hit him on a few crossers, even though D'Amato Lenore was in tight coverage. So even without, two of the biggest weapons out there, Trent Williams is a weapon at left tackle, and Brandon Ayuk's obviously a weapon at receiver. We've seen a lot of stretches of brilliance this training camp from Brock Purdy, which is what you would expect out of an MVP finalist. So now they just got to get those guys back, and I think they could really fire at full cylinders.
Are you at Oracle Park with the Seagulls right now?
Well, I was going to say, David Lombardi is joining us on the River Islands guest line, and he might actually be at River Islands. Yeah, are you in the Tiki Room at Disneyland? What's going on back there?
I'm at the Dolphin Club. I just got out of the bay. I was swimming in the bay, so I just got out because I knew you guys were going to call me at 5, and there's some seagulls here. So I guess you could pick them up through the AirPods.
How often do you do that? Like I see that you jump in the water a lot, don't you?
I took about a month plus off just to kind of reset my body. We did a big swim from Point Bonita, which is the lighthouse on the other side of Golden Gate Bridge out in the open Pacific Ocean, swam through the Golden Gate back into the city. That was kind of the big thing that I was preparing for in the spring. And then I was like, okay, I need to get out a bit. That was one of those where you're kind of in the red triangle with all the sharks.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you if you got bit.
And let me tell you something about this swim. This is what I tell everybody. I got seasick on this swim. They call that water west of the Golden Gate Bridge the potato patch or the washing machine. And the day was much rougher than the forecast called for. And I literally got seasick as I was swimming. And it was one of the most miserable experiences of my life. Ugh. I kid you not. I was hoping that a shark would come and bite me in half to let me out of my misery as that was happening. It was really, really tough. And you know, there's nothing worse than feeling nauseated, especially when you're swimming under the Golden Gate Bridge, it was still in the distance. So it was even tougher. It's like 5:30 AM. And I just wanted to be let out of my misery. The shark did not come let me out of my misery. But anyway, so swim is finished. It's behind me. And now we're getting ready for the next one. So hopefully we get clear conditions. So I'm back in the water every day. I'm building up the endurance again.
I'd be more scared of a jumper than a shark.
Oh my God. This whole thing is like my nightmare right now. I can't even put my mind. Can we talk about something
more? I'm getting
more
anxious.
I know. Like something more pleasant. Like what shoes did you wear to practice today after George Kittle challenged all of you?
I was on my way actually this week at some point to buy new shoes anyway. I like to wear these white sneakers, and you know, after a few months you got to get new white sneakers. That's the problem with these white shoes. So I went into Nordstrom after practice yesterday and said, okay, well, I have to do it today since George Kittle.
Nice.
Buy my new shoes. It's still camp right now, so I'm wearing shorts and shoes, but once it's not camp and we hit fall, I'm a pretty big shoe guy or boot guy. Like I like to wear the cowboy boots and jeans and stuff. But right now I'm still wearing the white shoes.
Hey, but before you swim out of here, I feel like we should ask you about Trent Williams. Like, any concerns on what's going on with him?
I don't think so. I think that I always thought that it would be around mid-August with Trent Williams. He's 36. He doesn't need these 3 or 4 weeks of dog days of camp. I do think that he needs a little bit of time. Kind of like I said the same thing about Bosa last year. I don't think that Bosa needs all of training camp, but he got to build the callus a little bit, and he didn't last year. Right? Bosa came in a little bit too late, and that was a problem. This Trent thing isn't nearly as big of an adjustment as Nick Bosa, who was the largest non-quarterback contract ever. I think a lot of it could be taken care of by guaranteeing parts of the deal. Now, of course, you worry about the fact that he is 36, and if he retires and you guarantee a bunch of the contract, that could leave you with some dead cap that, if you're being really careful, Brandon Ayuk can undo all the work that that you're doing with Brandon Ayuk right now, because it's all coming out of the same pot. So I think it's delicate, but I think he's so important that if they could get this Brandon Ayuk thing right, then it could fit right in with that. So I wouldn't be all too worried about it until the, you know, if the calendar turns to September and it's still not done, that's when you got to be like, oh God, not again, because it did affect them with Nick Bosa last season.
David, great to have you, man. Thank you for all of that. Appreciate you.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thank you.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly.